It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com. Hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target. Work the hardest, with passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
What's up, y'all? It's Marshall Couture, also known as Plex, and you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. How you guys doing? I am doing dandy, I guess, as you could say. Got a chance to do some recording. I actually had a chance to do an interview this week, but I asked somebody and they weren't able to make it, unfortunately, and I had somebody else I could have asked too, but I just kind of took that as like, you know what, I have some extra time here, let me just work on this beat business stuff because, you know, there's a lot to do. There's still a lot to do, and I've been working hard on it every single day, but, you know, it takes a lot of work, so yeah. That's what's up with that, and I'm just kind of checking here to see if, my, app is still recording, because I wanted to bring up a quote at some point, might be very soon. So, I guess we'll just get right into it. I don't really need to do too many, like, updates or anything, because, basically, I've been kind of doing the same stuff. I guess I could kind of do a little bit of an update. Basically, I've been working on a lot of the, every day I'm contacting people. That's like the kind of main, most important part, really. Keep contacting people, talking with artists and stuff. But, you know, I've also been working on a lot of the kind of background stuff, setting things up. I finally set up my email newsletter autoresponder. Right now it's just for 3 days, not even really 3 days. I definitely should add some more to it, but I at least got it up. I can go back and edit it. But, you know, it's basically, you know, when somebody signs up to my email, they get 3 free beats. And then, you know, there's an auto, like, when I send the email, or when they sign up, my email, I use, like, MailChimp, so that sends, excuse me, maybe I should take a drink, okay, sorry, I know you don't want to hear me drinking, but, I can only do this when I can do it. Everything for me is one take, no edits. I don't have time for edits and takes. So, what was I talking about? Autoresponders. And, so, yeah, when somebody, you know, sign up for the newsletter, they get a link to the free beats, or what happens is, like, right immediately after they, like, confirm the subscription, you know, an autoresponder is sent out to them with the link to 3 free beats. And, you know, a thank you for signing up and all that. So that's the first autoresponder. And then the next one is, you know, just a message saying, and this is kind of a little tip if you guys, you know, feel like putting together autoresponders or whatever, which I actually really recommend, but we'll get to that in a minute. But then I put the, you know how like when you get an email, like when you're emailing somebody back and forth and when they respond to you, you get that like what is that, a colon or something? Yeah, I think it's a colon. And then the, you know, the kind of quote the message or whatever. So I kind of put that as the second autoresponder. This is like a little technique that they were telling me, you know, might be like work because it kind of seems like it's like an authentic, like they're responding to you. So you're going to open it up because you've already been talking to this person, you know, and you don't do this all the time. This is just for the one autoresponder, but it kind of works. It makes sense because I sent them the beats and this says, did you get the beats, basically. So it's like I'm replying to them, and that's, you know, asking them, you know, I just want to make sure, you know, first of all, thank you again, and I want to make sure that you got the free beats that I sent yesterday. If not, you know, hit me up, and I'll definitely get that to you. And then, you know, if you do any recording or anything, you know, let me know on those beats, because I'd love to hear it, type thing. That's pretty much what it is. Personally, a lot of people do different things. I'm keeping it, like, pretty darn short and sweet. I like email blasts to be short and sweet, because I know myself, when I get an email and there's a lot of words, I just skip it, or I kind of skim it, but I rarely, even blog posts, unless it's somebody I'm really interested in what they're doing, like a lot of times Jamie Gamble, I'll read his whole blog post, because I'm into what he's doing, and, you know, me and him are working on that comic and stuff, and so, I don't know, I'm always interested, so, you know, but, like, in a lot of you guys, like, if you put blog posts, I'll, like, read the whole thing, but, you know, if I get kind of a blast from just, like, this place I signed up to, I'll rarely, like, sit there and just read the whole thing. I'll kind of skim through it. So, I know I'm like that, so I try to make it super simple, super small, and just get to the point with the email blasts, because I personally know I wouldn't spend a lot of time reading stuff. Except for, you know who else I read their whole one is, Luis Escobar, the drawing website. Check that out. Sign up for the email for sure, because he puts out a lot of cool tips on drawing and stuff. But, you know, it's always interesting. He's got a different point of view than I'm used to hearing, so, in some of his stuff. So yeah, we got the autoresponders going. So the second one is, you know, did you get the free beats? And then the third one is, what is that one? Oh, it's just, hey, just wanted to touch base with you. And, you know, I was wondering, you know, I wanted to check out some of your music and stuff like that. So through the whole thing, I'm not even selling them anything. You know, I'm giving them something free. You know, asking for them to, I just want to hear, like, whatever they recorded, or making sure they got the free beats, and, you know, any new music and stuff like that. So I'm really just giving, and, you know, I'll probably do, like, two or three more autoresponders eventually. I'll throw on there probably pretty soon, actually, and it'll be more giving. You know, I'll give out a couple tips and stuff, and then maybe on the last one, it's still going to technically be giving, but I'll give out, like, a discount code to my beats or something like that. So it's kind of, you know, it's giving because I'm, you know, saying you can get some money off on the beats, but at the same time, obviously, I would like them to buy some beats. So I've been working on that, got, you know, the basics of that done. A lot of this stuff, I'm just like, I'm getting the basics done and then moving on to other things, because there's just so much stuff to set up. Did a lot of work on my site. I kind of revamped my whole site, did a whole new theme. It's easy kind of to do with the, I use Weebly.com, and it's really easy just to switch between themes on a whim if you want. So, I don't know, I liked the theme I had, but as I'm looking around to everybody else's stuff, and I know it's good to be different, but in this case, I want to look professional, and the theme I had was more like fun, and I don't know, not fun, but like hip-hoppy, I guess, which is good, but I don't know. I want people to come to my site, and I still don't know if I achieved this, because, you know, some of the stuff I, like my header and stuff, is still kind of like hip-hoppy and ruggedy, but I don't know. I changed it up a little bit. I thought maybe it's a little more professional looking, because I want people to think, you know, this is a serious, you know, artist. He's not just, you know, putting out beats like every other guy. You know, he's really, like, making a business out of this, and, you know, I want to, it's more trustworthy when it's more professional, So I want people to, I just want to be able to build that trust, and every little aspect helps build the trust if you do it right. If you don't do it right, then it's some stuff, like, if you, I mean, honestly, even just not spelling things right, or having links in there that don't work, or whatever, like, a lot of that stuff can affect, you know, people's decisions, like, buying decisions. Like, why would you want to buy something from somebody if it seems like they don't even have their stuff set up right, you know? So, you know, maybe the stuff I'm buying from them isn't even all that good, you know? So it just, it's just a, and you might not think of that, like, specifically when you're, you know, when you're going to a website, but I think subconsciously it does affect in that way, you know? So there's a lot of things that happen on the subconscious level, and a lot of marketing, pretty much all, I don't know, maybe not all of marketing, I don't know, but from what I'm learning, a lot of marketing is, it's a lot of just psychology, really, and presenting your stuff in a way that, you know, is appealing. And I know, like, automatically people are going to think, oh, manipulation, persuasion, which it is, though, I mean, in a certain extent, but it, like I said in previous podcasts, you know, I don't think of manipulation and persuasion as necessarily a bad thing. You know, sometimes it's pretty much a lot of stuff that we label as good or bad is actually neutral. Same thing with this, you know, manipulation, I mean, does have a negative connotation to it, you know, and it does kind of mean you're doing it in a harmful way. But persuasion is like the same exact thing, but maybe it's like, it could be good or bad, you know, as far as the connotation goes, in my mind at least. I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to tell you what the definition of anything is. You could go to the dictionary for that, but in my mind, that's the sense I get. And so I don't have a problem with being persuaded. Like, I want to be persuaded on good things. Like, I don't know, for instance, and this is a very squishy thing right here, but, you know, if we in America are, in fact, safe from terrorists, which I doubt we really are, like, I mean, I think you can't even possibly be safe 100%. I think 9/11 pretty much proved that. But if we are safe, I would love to be persuaded that we're safe so I can feel okay, you know? And that's why a lot of people get into a false sense of security, and why we probably all as Americans had a false sense of security before 9/11. And, you know, that still creeps in, you know, because we live our day-to-day and we don't have people bombing our hospitals and stuff like they do in, like, you know, the Middle East and stuff like that. So we just don't have that kind of stuff happening. We do, but it's like, it's not in a concentrated area, and it's not like, it doesn't feel like a war zone. It's more like it happens all over the country, and the country's big enough to where it doesn't really affect most people, you know? So, you know, there was a bombing in Boston. That was close to me, you know? But at the same time, I kind of felt the effects because the guy who drives at my job, or used to drive at my job, he was actually there, like, that day at a game right next to where it happened. And it happened during the game. Like a baseball game, a Boston Red Sox game. So when he came out, it had already happened, and he was there with his son. So it's like crazy, like, you know, that was, it was kind of close, but still, it was far enough from me where I'm like, well, you know, I didn't feel too freaked out, you know, I was a little worried, you know, who knows where these guys are going to go and what they're going to do, you know, while the chase was on, but, you know, But even that, you know, even the Sandy Hook thing was in my state. Definitely was freaked out about that. But they caught the guy. I think I remember they caught the guy pretty quick, right? So, oh no, they didn't. That he killed himself. Yeah, he was one of the typical in those kind of shootings is they kill themselves. So, anyways, but that did really affect me a lot. But still, at the same time, it didn't happen to me. So, you know, it's still just as far from me as, you know, something in, you know, like the Oklahoma bombing or something. New York is close to me. I mean, all that stuff is somewhat close, but it's still, in some ways, just as far because it's like, it didn't happen. I didn't experience it. I didn't see it, you know. But I mean, it's not, I am affected, but I don't know. I'm on this weird, like, tangent here. So, the point of it is, sometimes persuasion is something you want, you know. You want to be persuaded on things that are good for you. You want to be, and this would have been a much simpler metaphor or whatever. You want to be persuaded to eat healthy and exercise and do the things that will give you longer life and better health. You know, you kind of want to be persuaded. That's why the diet industry is so big, you know. So, and there's abuses in that, and there's manipulations in that. But the point is, if you're, and this will kind of bring me to the topic I want to talk about, is if you are bringing value, then is persuasion really bad? You know, and also just if you're bringing your entertainment, your music, your art, your comics, you know, that's not bad either, you know. That's part, you know, we've discussed what the effects of art are and what the importance of art is in our culture. And, you know, that's providing value, you know. It might not be like a specific practical value. Sometimes it is. Sometimes there's some teaching in it and stuff. But it is value. It enriches life, you know. It's like the spices to life. It makes life worth living, you know, to have the fun stuff and the entertaining stuff and the stuff that makes you think and all that kind of thing. So, I mean, that's some of the fun part. Obviously, there's other things. But, so, being persuaded is not a bad thing. You know, you want to be persuaded into good things. You don't want to be persuaded into bad things. So, why was I talking about persuasion in the first place is the question. we were talking about the emails and stuff. So, you know, at the end, you know, I might be giving out like a discount. And so that's all put in place to be persuasive, but also to help. And really, when you're focusing on your business and you want to be successful, this is the main topic basically is, you know, and I'm learning this now by experience, you know, before I kind of knew it, but, you know, you really don't know stuff until you do it, you know, I mean, you do know it, but there's definitely a deeper knowing, you know, when you actually practice what you're thinking or saying or learning or whatever. So, you know, when you're focusing on business, you know, you're obviously like, okay, I want to do this beat business and I want to make money and I want to, you know, be able to quit my job and make a lot of money and be able to help other people and things like that. You know, that's kind of the whole thing, that's like the bottom line. It's not necessarily your motivation, but it's kind of what you want to do. Like, I don't want to be doing manual labor for the rest of my life. I do have skills, you know, and are they what the world normally thinks are skills that are practical and helpful? Well, I don't know, not really, but at the same time, You know, they sure do love to praise the works of somebody, you know, in the, you know, a superstar in the sports arena, or even just a superstar in the music arena and stuff like that. So, you know, they'll tell you foolish to your face until, like, you become famous, and then they'll want to be all up in your junk, you know? So, I don't want to be famous or anything like that, but I'm just saying, like, the world doesn't seem to respect it until it's, like, super successful sometimes. So, because I mean, I have friends now, like, doing this with the GTS movement that I've been talking about, selling these beats and stuff, and they're saying, you know, they're getting a whole bunch of flack from their, you know, relatives and friends and stuff, and they'll tell them, you know, what are you messing around with this stuff, like, why are you doing this, why don't you get a real job, things like that, yet they're making a ton of money, and they're, like, making a much better living, probably, than those people who are complaining to them. But people just don't, a lot of people are just, their minds aren't open to the idea of basically freelance type of work, or work from home type of situations. I think by the time I die, or, you know, hopefully I don't go leave this earth early, but, you know, by the time, you know, maybe 40, 50 years from now, I think people will be a little more used to people working from home and having their own businesses and things like that, because it's just way much more prevalent than it was before the internet got big, you know, and it's becoming more and more. There's people, like, building huge, you know, businesses off of YouTube channels and stuff, and, you know, online blogging and all that stuff. You know, people are making lots of money now. You know, back in the days, it was like, it was hard to figure out how to make any money, you know, and it still is. We're still early in this, you know, and we still got tons of opportunity in this thing. Like, you know, from now until the day you die, like, we're still in the early parts of this internet thing. So, you know, the opportunities now, if you're not taking advantage of it, you know, you're missing out. And, you know, there's this whole thing of, you know, the analogy of the gold rush, you know, and how everybody ran over to California and was looking for gold and stuff. And, you know, they talk, you know, a lot of marketers will talk about this, and they'll say, you know, a lot of people ran out for gold. There's gold in them thar hills, you know. But a lot of people lost a lot trying to do that. And that's kind of what happened with the internet too, you know. There was this huge boom. Everybody's buying up all these dot-coms and this and that. You know, and then everything collapsed, you know. It didn't work. So does that mean the internet doesn't work? No. It just means they didn't figure it out and they kind of ran into it. And that's what entrepreneurs do, you know. They run into things, take, you know, calculated risks. Sometimes they get hurt from them. But, you know, somebody who's an entrepreneur who has made $1 million or so, they have learned the techniques while making that first $1 million. So a lot of times they can bounce back, you know, because now they know what it takes, you know. So, but that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is that in the gold rush, the people who made all the money were the people selling the materials and supplies that it takes to go and drill into a mountain and find gold. The people who were building restaurants in those areas because those people needed to eat, you know, that kind of thing. It was the people who were kind of facilitating those people trying to get gold that were making the money. So what does that mean in the internet? Well, and this is kind of a sucky thing that probably a lot of you guys don't want to hear, and I don't like it either, really, sometimes, but I'm becoming a little more okay with it because I have a desire and a need, kind of, to do something more than just work at a manual labor job. I need I mean, that is my kind of motivation. I need to get out of this. This is not what I was, you know, meant to do, you know? And I was meant to do stuff more along the lines and in the realm of music and art and information and teaching and stuff like that. But what that translates to with the whole gold rush analogy is, you know, information and you know, helping people, doing like coaching and stuff like that, books that teach people how to do the business of art and music and stuff like that. So, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm getting involved in that a little bit, but I'm doing it in a way where I'm trying to learn first how to actually do, you know, the music part of it, you know, and then I want to do, like, I'm going to be doing some experiments. Once I become successful in one thing, I'm going to start doing some experiments in, you know, with comics and with just art and stuff like that, and see if I could kind of figure out, maybe once I learn how to do it with one thing, I can translate it over to other things. And along the way, I'll probably be doing some, I mean, I obviously am, I'm already doing like the artist advantage tips every day for rappers and stuff like that. But eventually I'll put together kind of like a book or something, or some kind of, you know, program of some sort, webinars or whatever. Probably it'll come in a lot of different forms. You know, telling people exactly what I did, you know, to get to a place of actually making a difference with my art and music, like making some actual money. I'm not saying, you know, that I am going to become rich and famous off of making comics or making music or whatever, but I'm definitely shooting towards rich. Famous, I don't want to even, I'm not even interested in, but, you know, it might happen by default, and if I have to manage it, I'll do my best, you know. But I look at, same thing with rich, being rich too. I look at it as a tool, you know. I look at it as something to be gained and something to manage, you know. I don't look at it as I need to be rich to be happy, you know what I mean. I can be happy whether I'm rich or not. Although taking the stress away from the money situation definitely helps in the being happy thing. It's just less stress, you know, is really the big thing. Because that is like something that kind of makes me miserable sometimes. So, you know, if I can get to that point, that's great. But that's not, you know, having the money doesn't make me happy. It's just taking away some of the stresses would definitely, you know, help me to focus on the things that are more important, you know, that do make people happy, you know. So, which, like, exercising and, you know, spending time with your family and all that kind of stuff, you know. I mean, I already do that stuff, but, you know, I'll feel much freer and I won't have the pressure on me if, you know, I have a business and systems put in place that are actually helping me and making some money, you know. So I'll probably get into that. I mean, you guys, if you, I really would suggest, you know, following my, my you know, YouTube, the Plex Beats official YouTube channel, which there's a link, you know, there'll be a link in the show notes and stuff. So I would recommend, like, definitely following that or following the liking my Plex Beats page or something like that for the artist advantage tips, because this stuff is geared towards, some of it is definitely really geared towards rappers, but for the most part, most of it is translatable to any kind of creative endeavor. So, yeah, I mean, the reason I'm saying that is there's certain things that, topics that I'm hitting on that maybe are a little more markety, or, you know, I'm just trying to be a little more, you know, with this, I just kind of journal my thoughts, and I'm trying to be sensitive, you know, to the sensibilities of the audience, you know. And in the artist advantage tip, I'm trying to be sensitive to those people. Like, because this audience, for the most part, right now at least, is a lot of, you know, you artists who are my friends, you know, and I hear a lot of your content and your podcasts and your videos and stuff like that. And I, you know, there's a certain sense that you get that the community has, you know, certain kind of default preferences and things like that. So I don't want to, and it's not a marketing thing really, it's just, you do this in everyday life. Jersey talks about this, you know, you're a little bit different around different people, you know. It's adaptability, it's something that humans do naturally, and people who say they don't are probably lying, because they do, you know. I notice it, you know, I notice, like, when people are talking, you know, to somebody they're normally around, they talk a certain way. But then when they get on the phone with, like, I don't know, a business person or just somebody who they don't talk to that much, their voice changes. You know, they do a couple different things. It's nothing's wrong with that. You know, you're still being authentic. You're just being a little bit adaptable. And it's just the way we are as humans. So, and that's what all I'm really talking about with, you know, in hip-hop, talking about the money and being a little more bold and bold about the money and bold about marketing is not a big deal. Like, people, that's like a lot of percentage of some of these guys' content is just talking about themselves and being like egotistical and, you know, boastful and, you know, talking about how I got all this money, I got all these bitches and hoes and stuff like that. And, you know, not that that's the kind of music I make or am into, but I mean, I sort of am, but I'm sort of into it because, you know, I've been influenced by a lot of different hip-hop music, and I try not to throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, there is good stuff, but just because it's entertainment, you know. I don't agree, obviously, with some of the stuff. But, so, this is like a very tangent-y podcast. So, yeah, I would just recommend that you follow that YouTube channel because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I might not quite talk about here. And if you're okay to be, I mean, I'm pretty much the same. Like, I still have those same sensibilities, like, that I kind of bring over from the art community, because I'm trying to be different. I'm trying to be like who I am, which is very different than most of the other guys doing this stuff, you know, in the hip hop realm, because like the stuff I was just describing, like hip hop is like, you got to be hardcore and this and that. And I even say in my videos, I'm just like a geeky white dude. And I love hip hop. I'm geeking out about it. And, you know, I'm not hardcore, you know, I don't want to be hardcore, not even interested in that, but I love the music, you know, and my beats are hardcore, because I love hard beats, you know. There is a hardcore side to me, but I'm not gonna, like, walk around with a Gat and, like, be, like, some kind of thuggy white dude. So, yeah, anyways, so I am coming up on my destination here, so I'll probably continue and get a little more in depth in the topic that I wanted to talk about here in just a minute. So I'll pause it right here, and yeah, and I'm back. And I gotta bring up that quote again, because I still haven't gotten to it. So that's not hard to do. All right. So I guess I'll just say this quote, and that'll kind of help me get on track here. So the quote is from Einstein, and I just posted it today. I've been posting these, like, kind of inspirational quotes, and they all have to do somewhat with business and success. The ones I've posted so far have been scriptures, mostly from, like, Proverbs and stuff like that talk about being diligent and stuff like that, and how being lazy doesn't work and things like that. And but this one is from Albert Einstein, I guess. I mean, I found it online and I tried to look and see if it was definitely actually from him, but I just don't know. It seems like people quote Einstein all the time, and half the time I wonder if it's an actual quote from him or not. But regardless, it is a cool quote that I dig. So, and supposedly it's from him. All right, so, and you know what? I run into that now doing these quotes a lot. So I don't know if you guys know of a good website that can kind of fact check these things with the quotes and stuff, because, you know, I looked for one, but I wasn't able to find one. If you happen to know one, please let me know. But anyways, so the quote thingy, oh yeah, so here it goes. It's try not to become a man of success, rather become a man of value. Albert Einstein. You know, not super profound, but pretty profound. Well, actually really profound in my opinion. Especially with what I'm doing with the business and stuff like that. It's funny, it's so odd because, and this is what I was getting to earlier, and you know, all the tangents happened and stuff, but you know, at the base level, there's kind of like a bottom line, you know, where if you want to have a business, you're obviously you want profits. Like the focus is to make money, basically, sort of. But the focus really isn't to make money. What's more important and more helpful towards making money is being focused on why you're in business, how you're helping people, focusing on helping people, providing value. And the money side works itself out. You know, obviously you put products in place and stuff like that, and you're promoting things, but the money doesn't really come as a result of trying to say, like, trying to convince people to take money out of their wallet and give it to you. You know, that, like, you can't focus on the money. You have to focus on what you're giving to people, what the benefits are, things like that. And providing other kinds of content. And I mean, online, obviously, we talk about content. But, you know, it works out in the physical realm, too. But you provide certain things and you do certain things within, like, you know, ads and things like that to provide value, whether it's entertainment value or it's, actual like learning type of thing or whatever. There's all kinds of things, or actual like products or things, you know, like people give out, businesses will give out, you know, pens. Like my business that I work for gives out pens, pads, t-shirts, and obviously all this stuff has their logo. It's free advertising, but at the same time, these are all things that are useful for the job, you know. That the customer needs to do. So you're helping them, you know, and other things, you know, a lot of current time salesmen, you know, they will budget for, you know, taking people out to sports events, or they'll bring them out to a bar and hang out, talk, and like you talk biz, but you know, they do like the golfing outings and things like that. And yeah, you talk kind of like about business and stuff sometimes, but you don't always, you know, you just kind of talk to people and get to know them and have fun. And building that relationship creates a trusting buying environment. So that's a big part of the sales process, is building rapport. But this whole thing, you know, don't try to be successful, try to be of value, you know, it's very true. You know, and it's funny that, like, when you start to get serious about business and, you know, you start to learn, like, actual good business principles instead of, like, you know, kind of spammy stuff and stuff that really just doesn't work. But even if it does work, you know, there's some tactics that you can use that maybe are kind of slimy and, you know, they're just not, they're like, they can be effective for the short term, but they're never effective for the long term, really. So, like, these tactics of, just the tactic of constantly providing value and good content that people like is of much more value. You know, you're building something, you're building a relationship. You're not, like, right now, like, this whole GTS thing, like, they even say, you know, you're going to work hard for 3 months and you may or may not get any sales, you know? But that's the commitment. The 90-day commitment is kind of like, you know, what they push, you know, is like, just work, keep doing this, keep, you know, kind of have faith and the stuff works, just keep doing it. And, you know, eventually things will come around, and they have stories of these people who did do that, and, you know, it took a while for them to get sales, but they, you know, eventually did start to get sales. And, you know, but now their sales are set more steady than they would have been if, you know, they just focused on the short-term type of tactics. You know, the sprinting, the posting your link out. I mean, trust me, I'm posting a lot of links. But these things are more to give value. And even with the, a lot of times, like on Facebook, instead of, like, posting a YouTube link, there's a pretty cool tactic with, you know, posting a Facebook page, or a Facebook, like, posting natively to Facebook. So I'll take the actual video and I'll upload it, to Facebook, and those actually get a lot more traction, for one, because Facebook, you know, every platform wants more native activity and they want engagement. Facebook rewards engagement and does not reward, you know, kind of fake engagement where, you know, you're trading like for like on your pages. And that's one thing I probably should try to stop doing, is liking so many pages, you know, because I like a lot of stuff that just is stupid, because people just invite me to this stuff, and I'm always like, oh, I'm a nice guy, you know, why not? I mean, it doesn't hurt me any. I'm not really getting notifications from any of these people unless I'm engaging with them anyways, so it doesn't matter, because that's how, like, the algorithm works in Facebook is, you know, there's this thing called edge rank, and I know very little about this, but I get the basic idea, is there's this thing called edge rank, and, you know, it has to do with the engagement. That's really, and that's the same thing with Google, and, like, that's a big metric on trying to get your stuff, you know, up on the first page of Google or whatever for a keyword and all that jazz with the SEO and stuff. So, you know, the same thing with Facebook, you know, they reward, like, actual activity, like, and they try their best to kind of squash, and they'll flag you too, I guess. I've never seen that, but they'll flag you for, like, fake, you know, interaction type stuff where you're, like, buying likes and stuff, even though they have a service where you can buy likes. So, but it's stupid. Buying likes is not in any way, shape, or form helpful to your business. And it's actually harmful to the, kind of harmful to the world, I think, because I think they, like, actually hire people, like, in other countries, like, third world or whatever countries, I don't know, like, Korea or something, maybe, I don't know, to, like, you know, get you a bunch of likes from, like, fake pages or something, or fake profiles. And I don't know, that's what I heard. I don't really know the depths of it, but if that's the case, I certainly am not interested in that. And anyways, I don't want to be liked. I'm not getting likes. The purpose for me to get likes is not to have more likes than the next man, you know? I don't care about the number of likes in that sense. I want more likes because I want more eyes on my stuff and I want more people engaging with me. You know, that's the purpose. So, you know, I have to reach out to those people who like my page and engage. Like my page and engage. I'm a rapper and I don't even know it. Anyways. So yeah. It's all about focusing on providing value. And honestly, it's funny because I'm not really working, like, I'm constantly working on my beat business, right? But I'm not really working on beats at all. It's so funny, like, the stuff you focus on, like, and this is why I think a lot of us in the art community have gotten stuck. Because as artists, and I've talked about this many times, I'm probably just going to keep harping on it because I just don't hear or see anybody talking about it. You know, in our art community, I don't hear anybody talking about it. Like, even people from my audience, like, they've heard it. So I just got to keep repeating it because the more I, like, look into it, the more I know it's true and I'm realizing it's true is, you know, we focus so much on the art and the craft and that part of it is, in some ways, the least important. I mean, it's weird because it's the most important in some ways, and in other ways, it's the least important. As far as running your business, it's kind of the least important as far as what people see and I mean, I shouldn't even say it's least important, but, like, it's part of, like, the stuff that gets your business to move forward is mostly, the majority of it is a lot of behind the scenes work, and a lot of promotion and marketing work. I mean, I spend more time making videos to lead people to my beats, you know, and making other content, blog posts, putting out emails, setting stuff up so that there's a system in place so that I can have kind of passive income start coming to me. You know, if you set up systems and you have a way to lead people into the system, then you don't have to work as hard. Those things work for you. And then maybe you can focus more on the art and stuff like that, but you gotta get that stuff going. And I have to get that stuff going. And, you know, you gotta build your audience. Like, building your audience pretty much is the biggest part of what you should be doing for your business. Person's veering out of the lane. But that's, like, the number one thing you really should be doing is trying to build your audience, and not in pushy ways, in ways that attract them more and more to what you're doing. It's like you're constantly working to become more sticky. You know, you're just constantly tweaking things here, tweaking things there to become, you know, more attractive, more sticky, to the point where people are starting to, you know, clamor towards you, or, like, they really want to get, you know, you're just building up that desire more and more. And that's why it's like this 90-day commitment. It's like, you know, you're doing all this stuff, putting out videos. It takes a lot of people a lot of times to check out, to see your stuff before they're going to even maybe sign up for the newsletter, you know, to get a free beat, you know, like, they have to keep seeing you over and over, and they have to keep being reinforced that you are a real deal and you're really there for the long haul. And, you know, some people have to be some people buy your stuff right away. You know, they don't care. They're just like, oh, you got dope beats, I'll buy it. Other people are like, you know, I'm not going to touch their PayPal button with a 10-foot pole until, you know, I've been wooed and courtshipped, you know, for a year or something, you know. But that's all right. Everybody's got their own level of, you know, how quick they're into stuff, you know. And sometimes it's better not to be hasty. You got to take some time, make sure you're making the right decision and stuff. So as a business person trying to get those people, you have to continue to just give them reasons, you know, to be into what, you know, to mess with you, basically. And it's a lot of work. That's where most of the work is, building your audience, building rapport. Building your audience, building rapport. Like, wash, rinse, repeat. Seriously, like, I'm not even joking. Like, this is, like, this is what it is. This is what business is, you know? And how do you do that? You do that with posting a lot of valuable stuff. You know, I'm personally building, like, I started off just doing, like, artist advantage tips and basically posting those everywhere. And now I've expanded to, now I have three more segments. I added three more segments to my YouTube channel. One is called Raps to Riches. And that's just kind of lifestyle stuff. And this is a tip for you too, is people, they want to know about you, you know. They don't want to just see your art. They want to know who the person is behind the art. So doing like journaly type stuff and just like little things like posting a, like I posted a picture the other night of like really close up to my cat hearing him purr because, you know, when he purrs, like sometimes it's really like a loud purr and there's like this funny squeaky sound that he does. And I was like, I put it up and I'm like, listen to my cat's imitation of a spaceship, because he sounds like funny like that. So, you know, I don't know, just that kind of thing, or like food that you're eating, and that's why people post these food pictures. I mean, you don't have to go overboard with that. You want the majority of your stuff to be, you know, stuff that kind of leads more towards your, I don't know, there's different percentages, I guess. I don't, when I see somebody's page, like Instagram or something, and all I see is lifestyle stuff, like them walking their dog and, you know, doing this and that, you know, and I don't see any of their actual music or art or whatever, I'm a lot less likely to subscribe, because I do want to follow artists who have cool stuff, cool pictures on their wall, or cool, like, videos of them making beats or whatever, you know. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm interested in. So if I see mostly lifestyle stuff, I'm not going to personally subscribe or follow, probably. So you want to have a mix. But yeah, so I added that, Raps to Riches. It's basically me documenting my life as I build this business and hopefully become pretty wealthy, you know. I'm not trying to become rich to become rich. Like I said in the last podcast, I want that to just be the tool to get me to be able to do more with what I, you know, we all have dreams, you know. I don't want to just put out these little mini comics. Nobody does. Like, we, I mean, yeah, that's fun and all, and we all have fun doing that, and we enjoy it, but I think we all would like to have our own properties get out there in, like, a really prominent way. I want to do that, you know, with, like, Glyph and stuff, and so, you know, that was one of my segments I added. I also added artist interviews. I did my first one last night. And I added another segment that's called Rhyme Design, just me getting geeky about lyrics and lyricism and stuff like that. So now I'm starting to add different kinds of content. And at first I was kind of like, oh man, I can't do all this stuff because I'm trying to set this stuff up and I want to do all this different kind of content. But now I finally got to the point where, you know, a lot of stuff is set up. I still got to set up more, but the big basic stuff is set up. So now I can focus a little more on my content. So I'm starting to, you know, I threw in the quote thing. I'm doing that once a day. I still haven't gotten to my email list outside of the autoresponders. I'm trying to get to that where I'm posting to my email list a bunch of times a week with all this value stuff, you know. And once in a while, I'll throw an offer in there, but for the most part, I'll be giving them value, artist tips, all that stuff. So there's that. That's one thing I need to get to. But, you know, I'm posting. What else am I posting? Yeah, basically the videos. Oh, questions, too. I'm trying to post questions, but I don't have a lot of... I haven't had a lot of ideas, but... You know, I'm trying to get more ideas, and as I go, I can, you know, I wasn't able to focus on that as much when I was first starting, but now I can, so I'll start collecting ideas for questions and try to at least throw a question in my group, you know, once a day, you know, and get that engagement going, you know. So you start to add all this content, and it's all stuff that people are interested in, and you start to find out what people are actually interested in, what gets people to engage. Usually it's not the stuff you think of, but getting those, it's usually frivolous, silly, fun stuff, you know, that gets people engaged. So you got to throw that stuff in there, you know, or sometimes it's stuff that makes you think, or like a quote, or like this stuff will get people talking more than, here's my new beat, okay, here's my other new beat, okay, now here's my other new beat, you know, like nobody cares about that stuff. But if they see all this stuff in your environment that you're creating is a fun place to be in, you know, then when you do post your music, it'll be like, oh, yeah, let me check this out. He's, you know, been talking to me, you know, here and there. And, you know, oh, he posted my music the other day. You know, you could do, like, reposts and stuff. He blogged about this. He... you know, gave me this tip that was actually really helpful and changed a lot of things in what I was doing, changed my thinking. So, okay, all that stuff has been done, and now all of a sudden, you know, he posts a beat. Yeah, I'm going to check this out. You know, actually, I don't even care if it's the style of beat that I like. You know, maybe I'll just buy it anyways just because and try something new, you know, just because this guy is such an awesome guy, you know. And he's, like, helping me, like, with things, and I'm having fun. And this is all the psychological stuff that goes, that people don't even necessarily think of, like, in a, you know, this concrete of a way that I'm, like, saying it. But, you know, you're building all that stuff, and you're adding value to people, and that's what you're focusing on. Like, you don't even think about the money. You, a lot of times, like, when you start to really focus on the true things of business, I mean, you're measuring all that stuff, you know, and you do have to keep an eye on it, but that's, it's more something you have to manage, and it's less something you're focused on. Like, when I message people, it's me just starting the conversation, basically, and I'm not trying to sell them. I don't even tell them my link unless they ask for it, and then when they ask for it, you know, I'll hit them back with, like, so how's things going with, you know, getting your music out or whatever. You know, and I'll just keep the conversation going. I'm not really acting like I'm interested at all in selling them anything. Because honestly, at this point, I'm not. Because I want to sell them. I want them to become... I don't want to sell something to them once. I want them to become a customer. And a lot of times, the best, you know, your best chance for making money is by selling to your customer base. Well, you can't sell to your customer base if you don't have a customer base yet, you know? So it's all about building that platform and building that customer base now and working really hard on that and just constantly just building your audience and building rapport with your audience. And I mean, that's really the gist of it, and not trying to get people to buy stuff, you know? And then creating products, this is another part of it, is creating products that are attractive and that are quality, and all that stuff is a big important part too. You know, it's funny, I say it's like 15%, you know, and that's the part we like, is making the beats, doing the art, and making the music and whatever we do. That's the part we like and we have fun with and where our passion's at. And so it's not necessarily the most important part, or I should say it's not the thing that you spend most of your activity on if you really want to build a business, but it is a very important part in that, you know, if you're doing all this stuff but your product sucks and your product is not good quality, you're still shooting yourself in the foot, you know, because you might have done all this work for nothing, you know. But unfortunately, it is true that sometimes lesser quality stuff gets bought and purchased because, you know, people are good at the marketing stuff. You know, I mean, McDonald's, I'm right next to a McDonald's truck right now, actually. Great example of that. Is McDonald's the best burger you've ever eaten? No. Is their meat even real meat? I don't know. Is it healthy? No. But who sells the most burgers and food in the world? McDonald's, you know? So, in that sense, you know, but are they providing value to people and things like that? Yes, I think they are. You know, they provide a convenient way to get fed when you need to get fed. You know, and that's why I go there a lot more than I should. Because of convenience. That's what they're selling, really, is convenience. And a cheap price, you know. So, actually, their prices went up. They're not as cheap anymore. But that's neither here nor there. So, anyways, that's pretty much it, guys. That's what I wanted to talk about. It's all about providing value and building that audience and building, constantly just building rapport and just adding value on top of value. You know, the book, I just like the concept, but the book is kind of hard to read, but it's good. It's something really that's good. But Gary Vaynerchuk's book, Jab, 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 Right Hook, I think that's what it's called. I don't know how many jabs are actually in there, but that's the whole point of it, though, is you keep providing value, providing value, providing value, providing value, and then you hit them with an offer, and then you provide value, and you just keep doing that, you know. But you might do a lot more of providing value in the beginning of stages, and then you can start throwing a little more right hooks eventually, you know. But, but that's the analogy, you know, so. That's about it, guys. That's all I really had to say for the week. And, you know, thank you guys for listening. You guys are awesome. And, you know, check out plexbeats.com if you want to, you know, connect to the YouTube, the Plex Beats official YouTube site or channel. I can't talk. And, you know, obviously donkeyjawprojects.com, that's where the show notes are. And yeah, thanks for listening. You guys are awesome. I've been getting more feedback because I've been being consistent and stuff, and you know, just thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy this. I hope this is helpful to you, and yeah, I'll talk to you next week on the next Escape Artist Podcast.
Background music provided by Mr. Pool. You can find show notes at donkeyjawprojects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to patreon.com/plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.